News Radio WJPF, Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza is joining me in the studio. So good to see you again. You've been staying out of trouble?
Yeah.
Have you?
Okay. I'm a little sick, so if your audience hears me a little nasally, it's because I have a bad cold.
It'll be fine.
Pushing through it.
You know, it's not every day that somebody gets to write like $5 million in checks for back pay.
Yeah, well, it's too bad, right, that it's taken so many years to get these hard workers their money.
How many years has it been?
Since 2011.
Yeah.
Way too long. So, you know, you have a contract, it should be honored. That's really how I think, right? You should honor a handshake, but even more so something that's signed into contract form. So I just feel like these employees have been mishandled for so many years, and I'm glad that we're finally at a point where we can start to make them whole.
All right. And you know, what's interesting is talking to some of these correctional officers. It's $5,400. I'm owed 36. And what was interesting in talking to a couple of people in particular, they were, that overtime, man, was something they'd worked hard for. You know, you 12, 16 hour shifts, stuff like that. And, they waited a long time, you know, mm-hmm. so they had gone past being anxious about it. It was
sure.
pretty much mad about it, I think.
Of course. It's something we've been hearing about since the day I was sworn in. So, I actually am having conversations right now with the union and other folks because there have been so many people that have been saying, I didn't get what I believed was owed to me. So I want to know what the heck is going on, right? Because my office gets the way it works is we just get a payment amount. So like if Tom Miller was owed back pay, I would get an approval for, let's say, $1,000 in back pay.
So but you didn't see their hours.
Yeah, I don't know how it was calculated. I just know that I have to cut a check for $1,000 for you. But there's too many people who've reached out and said, this isn't even close to what I was owed. So, and I know that our office has put out everything that we were told was told.
You got all the checks out for everybody?
I think we have everything. Did we get the last one out for...
Because as of August 24th, it was almost everybody.
No, so on Friday, I think it is that we announced that we put out the last of all of the approved back pay. And the key thing here is that if you have not received your check by September 1st, please contact the agency that you worked for where that money in question should have been earned. And contact them directly because we wouldn't know where your check is. What we can tell you is that if you retired a while ago, for example, the state might not have your most updated address on file. And the state agencies are the ones who have to send us the addresses. And so if they don't have the address on file, we still issue a check, but there's no address attached to it. So what happens is the check gets printed, it gets sent back to the state agency. You should contact your state agency, give them your updated address. They will then put the check in the mail.
Or it'll end up at iCash over at Michael Frerich's office.
Exactly. But no, hopefully they'll go ahead and send it out. So this is the system that has been set in place. But we want people to know if you haven't received your money by September 1st, you should have gotten it by then.
Contact
the agency.
A Chicago Sun-Times article dated August 2nd has that there were 900 of these Illinois workers.
Well, we have 900 of Illinois workers for what?
Back pay.
What do you mean? No, there were significantly more than that.
Yeah.
Thousands.
I said that's why whenever I saw this, because it's Chicago Times article, first back pay check sent out to 900 Illinois
workers.
Well,
that was the very first one, the very first ones. But we had thousands, almost 20,000 checks that were sent out.
$63 million.
$63 million, yeah.
That bond sale last week caught me by surprise. It was $965 million, tax-exempt, 4.19% interest.
Yep, I mean
that we needed that for cash flow.
That was not for cash flow.
They retired the bonds and bought them at a new rate, the lower guaranteed
4.19. That was not for our day to day cash flow.
I was wondering if it was cash flow. Okay.
Yeah. No.
So that was money management issue and interest rate specifically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're not touching that. So essentially the bond deal that we focused on was that $6 billion worth of bonds that we got 3.5% on that saved taxpayers $4 to $6 billion. The governor's going to have to move forward with, you know, they did a small capital bond.
Right.
They did. And every now and then, they're going to move forward with their own initiatives when it comes to bonding. But it wasn't to pay, you know, bills back or anything like that.
Right. Well, I knew, you know, because I was telling you before we went on the air, I'm pretty regular about going to your website to see what our back bill. I don't think I've saw it below $6.5 billion, maybe something.
It actually got under, it like hit the 5.9, but it's today it's 7.7. And, you know, I think I've explained this to you before. On any given day, it'll range anywhere between 6 and 8 billion.
Right.
And that's because we're we have to like save up money to make things like categorical payments, which are expensive payments, or Medicaid payments or things like that. So today we're at about 7.7. That could go up a little. It could go down. So it just depends when I make the big payments.
All right. And there are a lot of payments floating around.
Lots
I don't
of
know.
Payments.
I don't know how you keep. Where would we'd be without computers is my first thought.
Well, with that kind of money, you're right.
You know, because I was just looking up the backlog voucher report here at your website.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing $7,701,956,743.78.
Yep. So you can round it up to 7.8, right?
Yeah.
Every day that number changes. We just want to be fully transparent with the public. So if they go to our website, they can see that. They can also see the transparency reports, the debt transparency reports that we've put out every month since January. And that gives me an idea of what the total liabilities are sitting at the 83 different state agencies that report. And that helps me be able to do a better job for you as a taxpayer of managing through this fiscal crisis. So it's important stuff.
You've had the governor's signature on 5 pieces of legislation you've endorsed. You've got to view that as success when you look at the current situation, the financial situation, because when I look down at some of the things, it really is, this word is overused, transparency. It's about seeing where your money goes.
That's right. It's about seeing where the taxpayer dollar goes. And I really believe to the core of my being that taxpayers deserve to know how their money is being spent. And if the state's chief fiscal officer didn't even have full visibility, then you can rest assured that you had no visibility. So I've really tried to lead a transparency revolution since being elected because, like I said, everybody, no matter how few taxes you pay or how many, you deserve to know how your money's being spent. And we've led these initiatives. You might recall that the biggest one, the most historic transparency reform, was the Debt Transparency Act that requires monthly reporting of the state's liabilities. That was a real battle. I got it passed in the House and the Senate, and then the governor unfortunately vetoed it. But then, thankfully, we were able to override that veto unanimously. And that set the stage for all the other transparency initiatives that he's now signed on to. And Representative David McSweeney, who's actually a Republican, he was the chief sponsor of one of my key bills that requires future governors to include the amount of late payment interest penalties that have now, they actually surpassed $1 billion. It's just, I call that stupid debt. You know, it's like debt that will never be invested in people or in roads or bridges. But that's a real liability that taxpayers are on the hook for, and it should be included in all budgets, because if you don't include it, you're ignoring a billion-dollar liability that exists, and you might as well blow a billion-dollar hole in your budget.
All right. HB 5814, Budgeting for Interest Payment, requires governors to include in their budget proposals their plans to pay down the state's late payment interest penalties, which currently total nearly $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you start thinking about this, because we are really crappy money managers,
mm-hmm.
And we have been for a long time, because you touched on this, and it's one of my favorite subjects. What could we have spent that money on if we hadn't given it into the usury fees, right?
That's right.
And those fees, including managing our retirement plans, are astronomical.
For sure.
And I think about how many roads, how many miles of road, how much mm-hmm. medical research done at SIU for breast cancer. I mean,
sure.
You can just start coughing these things up, right? High-speed rail, whatever it is
yeah,
you
want
to talk about.
It's infuriating when you think about it.
Water damage control along the Ohio River for agriculture. I mean, you mm-hmm. literally, books that actually talk about the International Space Station, you just can go down the list forever in the state.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that total, I literally can go berserk. It's like Christmas morning on what I could spend that on, you know, ideally, you know.
Well, that's how I feel about it, Tom, and that's why I want to put a stop to just continuing to accrue these late payment interest penalties. You know why? Because nobody can see them. So as long as they keep you, the taxpayer, in the dark about it, and you don't know that this $1 billion or $500 million or $1.5 billion, whatever they allow it to get to, if you don't know, but only the people that are spending the money know about it, then it's as if it didn't happen. And that's the thing. They love keeping you in the dark about it. And governors, Democratic and Republican, have loved to keep the public in the dark about how they're mismanaging their money. And
right.
I've had enough of that. So,
and I've seen some of these. And I remember the Saddle Retirement Fund, and they said, oh, we're going to make X number of, but they... It was like 1/5 of what they said they were going to make.
Right.
You know, but they'd planned on all the money they were going to make.
Oh, of
right?
course, of
course. And so you've got those issues. Democratic Day, the DuQuoin State Fair. I know you've been here since last...
last Thursday.
So you've been busy.
Been here almost a week now, and I've been traveling the whole region. So I was in Kaskaskia yesterday. That was really cool.
Go to the mounds?
Yeah, I mean, how cool that you have to actually go through Missouri to get to the island. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw the Liberty Bell of the West and did a little video, actually, because we're doing videos on the bicentennial.
Right.
So we went to Vandalia, went to Kaskaskia for two of the videos. And I've been all over. I've been in Marion. I've been in Carbondale, Collinsville.
What'd you learn that you didn't know before? Besides, you've got to go to Missouri to get a casket.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't realize, I know this is going to sound silly, but I thought it was so cool that Chester is where, it's like big for Popeye.
Oh, yeah.
It's like pretty cool.
Seeger.
Yeah, and we actually took a picture by the Popeye, and I posted on Twitter, like, who can tell me where this is? And it was like, bam, right away, somebody from Chester said, right. Hey, it's Chester. Woo-hoo.
Well, and then because I know somebody in Springfield was listening to the show online and sent me a letter saying, hey, don't forget, one of the top 200 artists is Elsie Seeger from Chester, Popeye.
Yes, right? Exactly. So, like, cool stuff. I mean, I feel like I have a really good handle on the state, and then I learned something, and I think it's just so beautiful. This is an awesome state. I just love it.
Same thing happens to me all the time. There's so many cool things. You don't get a chance to see them all.
Right.
So you've gotten a chance now, and it's very clear since you and I've gotten to know each other, you've become a lot more comfortable with your job.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I feel like I have a super strong handle of it, and that should make taxpayers feel confident that at least when it comes to the controller's office, we know what we're doing over there, and that I take my role of being that last line of defense for people very seriously. And, you know, I think about all that we've been able to do here in Southern Illinois, like really championing and fighting for the Women's Center in Carbondale. You know, if that place were to shut down, you know, women will have nowhere to go. Like, it's not feasible that they're going to travel over.
You visited there, and right now I've talked to the executive director, and what they were forgotten. Literally in the budget process, forgotten.
That's right.
It's shameful. There's not another word for it.
Yeah. But I prioritized them. As soon as I had a nickel available, it went to the Women's Center out there. And they'll tell you the same thing if you ask them. You know, I've been there multiple times. And the Williamson County Pre-K is another example of who were able to step in and help. I mean, not to mention immediately getting to work within that first 24 hours of having a budget a year ago to get money right away to Southern Illinois University and to pay down the MAP grants that hadn't been paid or respected the previous 2 years. And so, yeah, I've been very busy. I think that the controller's office, as the state's chief fiscal officer, is the hardest job in the entire state government structure. But this is exactly when I'd want to be there to help manage our state through the worst crisis at the worst crisis.
And see, and this is how I, and because this resonates with me when you say hardest job, because how many, when you look at these new statistics of what keeps people up at night, number one is relationships. And I think that's at 46% and at 36% it's money. But when you look at it all together, it's about 71% because of different things at all. It keeps people up at night when they can't pay their bills and they're worried about money. And here you are. We just covered the $7,767,000,000 in back pay.
Mm-hmm.
Not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure how well I would deal with that.
Well, I
don't have enough. I don't have enough. There's not enough, and I owe people money. That's the kind of thing that keeps me up.
That's right. Well, no, certainly I've lost plenty of sleep since being sworn in on December 5th, but I can handle it because I know that I'm in a position to help, right? So I have to be good at managing that money. People always ask me, are you good at managing money? And I say, how about I'm better when there's no money, right? So I think like when you've grown up with not a lot of money, you learn how to make every penny count.
Right.
And so I don't come from a wealthy family. My parents were, you know, not even remotely, I don't even think we were close to middle class, right? We were probably lower middle class, if you want to think about it that
so
way.
So at some
we struggled.
Point,
yeah,
you,
I know
at
how
some
to manage
point,
money.
Your mom or your dad looked at you when you were little and says, all right, we're survivors.
That's
didn't
right.
They use that word?
You're right. You're totally right. And
I know because my mom told me the same thing.
Yes. And we have to, we can't have everything that you'd want to have, but you're going to have what you need, right? And so they worked very hard to give us everything that we needed. And I feel that this is what I've known my whole life. So, yes, I'm probably the right person at the right time because I'm not worried about the luxuries. We're focused on necessities
and
making sure that when someone like the Williamson County Pre-K, who's, you know, taking care of hundreds of our kids, is about to miss a payroll, on my watch, they're not going to miss a payroll, right? The Women's Center is going to get the funding that they need to make sure that women and their children can be taken care of and that their lives are not in danger. And the same is true for, you know, I just love this region. I think I spend more time in Southern Illinois, I know I do, than even back at home. And I joke around that I've been here so long, I could just register to vote already. You know what I mean? It's been like...
At this point, you probably ought not joke about it.
Yeah, I think I could start giving tours of Southern Illinois to people. So
it's interesting because I live with a woman who's like that. And say, all right, Harris, honey, here's $200. Let's go make food purchases for the food pantry.
Yeah.
And it takes two trucks.
That's right.
That's who I want on my team. That's who I want on my team. Is somebody says, watch what I can do with $200, yep. Right? And it's not four bags walked out in one arm. It's we're going to make this work, and she's working deals.
Yeah,
how much
and you know
we
what?
Get?
To yep. that point, Tom, I guess this is good to say to people, too, because I have to look at the big picture, right? What am I doing with every little individual vendor across the state and, you know, service provider, but also within my own shop, right? I was the only constitutional officer, and when the appropriations committees were going on, there wasn't a single state agency that was willing to offer up a cut to their own budgets. Yet I walked into that appropriations hearing 2 years in a row and offered up the lowest budget request for the controller's office in 20 years. I cut my own budget. I've managed my budget so well that we returned over $1 million last fiscal year to the state coffers, and I'm well on the way to returning a little bit more than that in this fiscal year. And nobody could say that if there's one office that's working harder than any other, it's definitely the controller's office. So we're doing more with less every single day. And it's because I know how to handle money.
Let me explain why your entire staff that's with you is in sackcloth. It's very fashionable.
That's right. They're not allowed.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks for cutting. Thanks for cutting that. I've been wearing the same sackcloth for a week.
Yep.
Thanks.
But anyway, no. It's like, you know, you got to take this stuff seriously. It's not a game.
Well, like J.J. Watt, right? $41.6 million this guy gets, right? He does a report yesterday. You talked about transparency. With that $41.6 million, he rebuilt 600 homes, 420 child care centers, 26 million meals, and 10,000 people got their medications.
That's
my first
awesome.
Thought when I saw this is, this guy isn't a football player. He's a money manager. Let's get him in charge.
That's right.
You know?
That's awesome.
We ought to put him in
hey,
charge
JJ,
of FEMA.
Don't run against me, man.
I was thinking IEMA or FEMA is what I was thinking.
No,
right?
For sure.
Right?
For sure. That's pretty cool. That's how you have to do it.
So when are you going home?
Tomorrow.
What do you got between now and then?
So I was going to do a Meals on Wheels thing today, but I canceled because I'm sick and I don't want to make frail seniors, you know, potentially get sick at my...
Right.
Because of me. That would break my heart. So canceled that. And then I've got the editorial board today with the Southern.
The Southern Illinois.
Yep. Southern Illinois today. And then... And then what I'm going to do is probably get back and then take my son to buy his school supplies because he actually starts school next Tuesday.
How old?
He's five.
Oh.
He's starting kindergarten, I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah! But on Thursday, he has his orientation, and I have not had time to buy him school supplies yet. So we'll be doing that here in Southern Illinois.
All right.
And then hopefully on Thursday, we'll be able to drop off all his supplies and not be a bad mom, you know, and show up with nothing. So
this will be the interesting conversation inside the Illinois Comptroller's head today.
Yes. Well, it's important stuff.
When was that tax holiday for school purchases? What we didn't have one, and the reason why we don't is because we're broke.
That's right. We're broke. It's such
right?
a bummer.
I did look around the surrounding states, and they had that date, but not here. And we haven't had one in, I think, probably 5 years,
well,
maybe
longer.
Well,
hopefully we'll be
Since
able to
Quinn,
have one soon.
I know of. But see, that first place person, right, that you're there going, tax holiday, and now I know why somebody wants it.
Yep.
But I also know that I... got bills on my desk of $7.5 billion. I think that out of all the people in the world, when you're picking that lunchbox off the shelf, that you get it more than anybody else in the state.
I do. It's
hard. Well, it's like the teacher races, and people say, "Yeah, we want to give teacher raises," but there's a second order of effect there.
Uh-huh.
Can we afford the retirement afterwards? Does it move other people's things? I mean, there's so much to consider on everything in Illinois because of the margins, the thin margins we exist on.
Yeah, it's tough. Like I said, it's tough. I mean, you're always, you know, again, the bill backlog was 16.7. Now it's less than 8.
Right.
So we've slashed it in half, but it's still a humongous amount of debt that's still owed
especially if you owe it to
vendors.
Me.
That's my point, to vendors for services already rendered, right? There's still almost $8 billion worth of, you know, unsolicited, or I should say unvolunteered loans to the state of Illinois, right? We mandatorily solicited them, and that's not okay. So
right.
it's still a tough job. You know, we may have a budget, and that's certainly helpful in terms of providing stability, but it doesn't provide any revenue, no new revenue for me to be able to pay down those bills. So it's just a matter of being a magician when it comes to debt management and really triaging, continuing to triage people. Just perhaps not, they're not as critically about to, you know, lose their business as they were a year ago, but many people are still living paycheck to paycheck and about to miss payrolls. And this is where we come in, and we want to make sure that we prioritize our dollars in a way that keep small businesses alive and keep hospice centers and nursing homes still functioning. But it's a balancing act, it's a juggling act, if you want to think about it, every single day.
Yeah, I often consider it as we dog paddle from one disaster to the next with our nose just micrometers above the water.
I'm optimistic, though. Let's not be depressed all the time. Look, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better.
It's my nature.
I know. It's my nature, though, to be optimistic and like to think that as bad as it is, I'm okay with it as long as I know how bad it is, because then I can figure out with other people as well. I have an amazing staff, but we can figure out what our game plan is going to be to make things better. And right now, we're focusing on getting through this budget impasse. It's still like the consequences of the budget impasse are there. We're still managing through a tremendous fiscal crisis, but we're doing it well. And I know that we're going to get out of this. And my mind is already thinking about rainy day funds down the road and like what we can do to get Illinois' credit rating upgraded. Right? This is how I think all the time. So don't, it's not all doom and gloom. It's tough, but we're handling it and we're going to get out of
good.
It.
Good. I just hope some of that rubs off on me.
Yes. All right.
All right. The Illinois Policy Institute put out an article that says we're short $1.5 billion in the budget.
That's true. I've said that. You know why they know that? Because of the Debt Transparency Act, that every month, if you go and read the reports, I'll tell you exactly how much we're short. So You wouldn't have known that without legislation.
Do you know
passing.
How many candidates and politicians hate that you've done that? Because when they're in, I read the number to them.
Yeah, good. You should. I mean, it's important. We have to acknowledge that these numbers are true. Otherwise, we can't fix the problem, right? So that's what I said. That's what I meant when I say that even if it's worse than we think, it's not that it's okay, but it's okay because then we can figure out how we're going to clean it up. If you pretend that wart that's bothering you and that you hate to look at isn't there, guess what? It's still there. You have to uncover it and treat it.
And it might be a melanoma.
Oh, you're right.
See, that's the difference between the two.
Like.
You're the optimist and I'm not.
Yeah. I just say let's treat it regardless.
There's people in the world that are a glass half full and there's a glass half empty. I'm the guy who says the glass is improperly designed for the task,